Welcome to Season 5 of the Stories in the Cemetery podcast. For the 2024 season, this podcast is going to cover the pitfalls and celebrations of paranormal equipment, new locations, and some of the big questions that we should be asking about the paranormal. This is not a paranormal TV show, and we won't fabricate paranormal evidence for the sake of Hollywood. Each episode will also have a blog post with audio, pictures, and video for you to follow along with. You can also find Stories in the Cemetery on social media platforms of TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's get into today's story in the cemetery with your host and lead investigator, Nicholas McGurr.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 48 of the Stories in the Cemetery podcast. And welcome to 2024. This is going to be the first episode of the new season. I hope you like the new intro. Decided to use a little bit of AI voicing with the new intro. This episode is going to be on ghost hunting apps. I'm just going to dive straight into this, guys. Let's get into the introduction. So no show notes, no commercials, no ads, nothing like that throughout this episode. So let's just dive right in. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I get asked all the time about ghost hunting apps and what my thoughts are on them. Have I used them? Do I trust them? And this was something that raised a lot of concern over the past 4 years of doing the interactive ghost hunting experience. And I wanted to kind of cover some of the things that I like about these apps, some things that I don't like about these apps, what I trust, what I don't trust, and, you know, just some overall advice about using phone apps inside of our paranormal investigations. When we're going to go through these, you know, together, obviously, because you're listening. That's how this goes. You listen and I talk. So that means that we are together. But when I talk about an app and I say that I haven't had much luck with it, or that I haven't had any kind of, we'll just put out there, paranormal evidence that I found to be fruitful coming out of that particular app, it doesn't mean that it's not working. It just means that it didn't work for the short amount of time that I tested it. Maybe once, maybe a few times during the investigation that I was testing that particular app with. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have any validity. It just means that I did not have any personalized luck with it, where I found that I was going to be putting it into my arsenal of tools to go hunt down ghosts. So I'm not here to discourage anybody from using apps, especially, you know, ones that have been around for a long time. Of course, I think we all have a good handle on how to find a good scam of an app, especially when they're asking you for money that might be a little on the heavier side. So if you're unsure about something, I would always double question it. And of course, do your research on these apps that you're looking into. There are a few apps that I do keep handy in my phone, and we're going to cover some of those throughout this episode. But it's, again, the ones that I had the most success with. And I just want to point out a couple of things when we're talking about apps and the higher technology of things that come out of our phone. Ghost hunting, it's an experimental science, guys. So I do want you to experiment with the apps and any other tool that you may come across. You know, just because me or a paranormal, you know, celebrity on TV says that it's the best tool, doesn't mean that it's always the best tool. So just kind of take it with a grain of salt, but these are things that, I mean, I do on a regular basis. This is what I do for a living, and, you know, you can take them for what it's worth. Again, what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. I also want to point out that, you know, using these tools, it takes a lot of discipline to be able to determine what's coming through as a good possibility of paranormal evidence and what's just plain old BS. So we all want to try to find things that's the goal at hand. But I think with Stories in the Cemetery and moving forward, what we're really aiming to do is to try to just get past the fact that we caught something. If you're a paranormal investigator and you're listening to this, we've all caught something. The point here is to either validate what we've discovered, or to look at a haunting as a whole. And that's something that I'm going to keep in the forefront of my mind with every single investigation, every single time. I want to also point out that with apps, please, and this is just a word of advice, and I may repeat this again later on, don't take one singular app as you doing an investigation on a space. And that's your only tool in your whole toolkit is one app that you paid for or one that you've gotten things with in the past. I'm always going to recommend, always, to use physical devices along with phone apps that are claiming to have paranormal activity help you in your investigations. Even if I'm not using the newly updated technology of phone apps in my investigations, I always use a conglomerate of tools when I am out in the field. And that does include two of the same type of, a minimum of two, of the same type of investigative tool. So for example, any communication device, I will always use another communication device to validate it. EMF meters, a minimum of two, so forth and so on. I hope you're getting my point. And it doesn't always just have to be, you know, two physical devices or two apps. I would actually recommend that you kind of intertwine the two different styles of paranormal tools that we use. I also want to point out one last thing. Some of these apps that I may discuss today may have paid subscriptions. These are apps that I am not an affiliate for. I am not tied to these companies in any way, shape, or form. What I'm expressing here is simply my opinion, and that's the opinion is coming from paranormal evidence of things that I've caught. Whether or not I have paid for a specific version of an app or not, I will disclose as we kind of move through these different styles of apps and the apps that I keep in my phone personally for paranormal investigations, or if I'm in a pinch with something where I'm like, oh, we're in a new space, let me see if there's any EMF here. That kind of mentality. So yes, some of these apps, or if not most of them, I have a paid version of the app, and that's only to remove the ads. Not to mention if I do use these apps during the interactive ghost hunting experiences, I want to make sure that my guests aren't being interrupted with ads and those kind of things that are popping through, or it might give an extra feature of the particular app, an expansion, so to speak, to allow any further paranormal evidence to actually come through. So I say, let's take a quick break. Again, no ads, just a quick little jingle, and we're going to get into the next segment, and we're going to be covering EMF detector apps. Okay, EMF detector apps. So do they work? And that's a great question. I get it all the time, and that's the reason why I just asked you. If you've seen any kind of paranormal TV show, you've seen the classic K2 EMF meter. You've probably seen a Mel meter on some of these newer shows, even a tri-field meter. These are all electromagnetic field detectors, and that's something that you can download as an app. Again, I use a K2 meter as kind of a secondary, and I only use it because it helps me debunk a lot of things, especially since the interactive ghost hunting experience is outdoors. I like to use it to make sure we're not picking up on parking meters and crosswalks and those kind of things. So I will tell you, as far as the phone apps, your phone can detect electromagnetic fields. And that's a field that it does not produce. So I want you to think of a Mel meter, if you're familiar with that, and that would be the full Mel REM ATDD model, where it actually has a REM feature built into the device itself. You know, your phone will not detect the EMF that it actually creates. So I don't know if you've ever noticed with a regular, EMF meter, but your phone will make an EMF meter go off. It will make it light up, depending on the model of your phone. It could be a range of whatever that reading is going to look like, but it is something that you need to be aware of. But I bring this up is because the REM feature of a Mel meter, a physical device, does not pick up on EMF that is being generated. So a REM feature will generate an EMF field around it. So when it is broken, it actually gives you that motion sensory, just like a REM pod. I know most folks are familiar with a REM pod, but the EMF function of the Mel meter will not pick up on the REM feature of the device. So your phone does the exact same thing. I've tested, I can't tell you how many EMF meter apps that are actually out there, and there are quite a few. They're all pretty accurate in their readings. So it's a great help for when you're just doing baseline readings of certain spaces. And again, you don't want to carry your entire toolkit in if you're, you know, going into a house or an abandoned location, and you just want to get a baseline to kind of, you know, start your investigation off. You know, using a phone app, it will work. I do trust them. Of course, there are paid versions. It is simply to get rid of the ads if the app is being paid for by ads. So again, if you want to put up with the ads, you know, that's completely up to you. Normally, it doesn't add any kind of extra feature to that app. But I will tell you, I use one that's called True EMF Meter. That's just one that I prefer. It's easy, it's simple, not a whole lot of bells and whistles go along with it, and that's what I like about it. And I'm gonna point out a few things, at least one major difference from these EMF meter apps versus physical devices. And it's the unit of measure. The unit of measure, you'll notice that there's like a little U and a capitalized T. And that stands for units of Tesla. What's odd about this is that most of your apps are going to use the units of Tesla as its unit of measurement, whereas a K2 meter, and we're going to keep it as the simplistic of all of the EMF meter devices, physical devices, they measure in milligauss or milligauss, depending on what your accent is. I know some people would love to correct me because I do say milligauss. I would say that you just need to know the conversion between milligauss and units of Tesla. I will say that the millimeter allows you to go back and forth, but because if I'm using multiple EMF meters in an investigation like I always do, I want to make sure they are all reading in the same unit of measure. A K2 meter cannot change. It is already reading in milligauss. So I make sure like all of my devices, physical devices, are reading in the same unit of measure. I cannot express this enough. If you're going to use a phone app to accompany any physical EMF meter, just know the conversion. I've made it quite simple for you. I already knew it, but I looked it up again just to kind of verify it. One unit of Tesla is equivalent to 10 milligauss. I want you to keep in mind a couple of things about your K2 meters. The first green dot that is originally not lit up when you power it on, like by hitting the center button, is 2.5 milligauss. So what I usually tell my guests on the interactive ghost hunting experience is to just let me know whatever color they see, but I'm looking for anything above 2.5 if I'm handing them a millimeter or if I'm handing them a tri-field meter. And this is simply because the first indication that something might be going on paranormally from a K2 meter is going to be that 2.5, and that natural EMF that comes off of the earth is up to 1.1 milligauss. So just a couple of things that I like to point out about those. The EMF is the quickest, simplest, easiest thing to use from your phone as far as, you know, ghost hunting apps go. And I thought I'd start off with something nice and easy, something that we were all somewhat familiar with. But again, I'm going to repeat that conversion. So one unit of Tesla is equivalent to 10 milligauss. That's about halfway through the point of a K2 meter that only goes to 25 milligauss. So again, that's another reason why I won't use just the K2 meter out on its own. It's because some spaces will go well beyond 25 milligauss. And if you're not using those other devices, you won't know what the readings are. So just kind of a word of caution. I know I'm kind of generalizing this with the EMF meters, but it is, you know, of importance. It's a good handy tool to have. So by all means, download any EMF meter app and test it around your home. So just kind of test it out and kind of see, get used to it, you know, and that way you actually have units of measure in your head and how to convert it back and forth between what a K2 meter would actually provide with you. The next set of apps that we're going to go through is word generator apps. Little jingle. Word generator apps, my favorite. Word generator apps, if anybody here knows me or has been on the tour, I'll shorten it up. You all know that I'm a writer, which means I love words, and I love the communication that we get out of any kind of spirit box, ITC device, and that does include word generating devices. So Let's talk about these. I get a lot of questions about these because, believe it or not, one of the tools that I hand out is a phone set up with an app, and there's a reason for it. So let's point out a couple of things first. We're all familiar with the Ovilus. We've seen them on TV. We see them on our favorite websites. We see them from other investigators. If you're not familiar with it, it is the little black box. Sometimes they come in different colors. It has two little tiny antenna on it, and it basically creates words using frequencies around your haunted space and will say the word in a very creepy robotic voice. How convenient. I will say that that little tiny box is pre-programmed with about 2,000, maybe a little more these days with the newer models. I haven't looked up the exact number. 2,000 terms. It is very easy for us to come up with 2,000 spooky terms, and I find that also a little too convenient. So I do not personally use the Ovilus. I actually use this word generator app that I'm about to discuss, but I will point out that your other word generator apps are going to generally give you between 500 to about that 2,000 paid version of the app, the amount of terms that they're going to give you. So about 500 to 2,000. Folks, there are over 170,000 terms in our English language. And that's a guesstimate because nobody truly knows. That's going based off the Oxford English Dictionary. 170,000 terms. These word generator apps are giving us 500 to 2,000. I don't feel like that's enough. And even if it is on the lower end, we'll say a 500, how many of those are going to just be spooky terms that say get out? You're probably laughing right now, and I hope you are, because I meant for all of that to be almost a joke. I've tested a lot of these, quite a few. I'm not going to name any of them specifically, but most of them are going to be within that range of 500 to 2,000 terms. I found one specifically that has over 9,000 terms in it, over four times the amount of what an Ovilus will provide. And what I love about this app is there's a couple of features. First off, the 9,000 terms are not all spooky terms. And if you can't see me using the air quotes that know that I'm using the term spooky quotes or spooky terms in air quotes. So again, it gives us generalized terms. It can give us very simple terms. It'll give us just letters. It'll give us numerals. I love this particular app. It is called Ghost Hunting Tools. It's a light blue icon with a black handprint, like fingerprints, like type style, in the middle of it. If you're looking for it in your App Store or your Apple iTunes Store, but that's what it looks like. Is it's just light blue with a handprint in the middle of it? Ghost Hunting Tools. Here's a couple of things that I love about this thing. First off, it actually shows you the frequencies of where it's getting the terms from. So if it recognizes a term, I think there's 9,108 word dictionary that is embedded inside of this app, then it'll put it up on the screen. What's even better, and something you should look for when you're investigating and researching these type of apps that you want to use as kind of a complementary piece, it saves all of your terms and phrases that will show up during an investigation into a whole list with timestamps. So you'll know exactly what part of your house that you were in. You'll know if you were in the backyard. You'll know where you were, and you can almost sync it completely with your audio and your video that you're using. That's what I love about this thing. First off, not all the terms are spooky terms. Secondly, it's going to tell me exactly everything where I was based on the timestamp and the date. You could save those lists. Here's how I normally do it. My guests on the tours will, because this is kind of a staple, even if it's just, you know, two or three people in a small group, I will run this in my pocket and pull it out from time to time. They will get the full list because I will email it to myself and label the date in the email so that way I know which tour it actually belongs to. I open up the list and I simply copy and paste it into the data sheets that my folks get back. I love this. It's super easy to use. Yes, I have a paid version of it. I want to say that the unpaid version of it does have ads, and it only has about 1,800 terms in it. So I paid the couple of bucks to have a license for it forever, and I use it pretty much on a nightly, daily basis. I absolutely love this particular app. Again, ghost hunting tools, not an advocate for this company. I don't even know who made it. I don't care who made it, but I've been using this thing for better part of 5 to 6 years. Some of the terms that will come up are really, really vague, and that's okay. What I normally tell my guests is that it's about 20% accurate to our haunted space. So if you get 100 terms out of this thing in 2 hours, that means almost 20 of them are going to be accurate to your space. I think that that's a pretty good ratio of accuracy when you're dealing with something that is already pre-programmed with a dictionary already in it, that dictionary being that 9,000 terms. A couple of things to look out for when you are researching and or shopping for a word generator app. Make sure that the dictionary isn't just all spooky terms or phrases. Make sure you can easily copy and paste this to save your list somewhere. I know a lot of investigators, especially newbies getting into the field, they're just happy to have something relevant show up in real time. But sometimes things show up and you're not sure why it's relevant. So it's important to actually look at every single word or phrase that was heard and then do the research after your investigation is over. That's what's so important about getting these lists and looking at that ratio of accuracy. Only half of the, we'll just say about half of the terms that are fully relevant to the space, that 20%, we'll just say 50% of those are words that we didn't even know about. But I did the research and I found that, you know, the color blue might be relevant. And I only use that because it's the color that's the color of my microphone. It's right in front of me. Make sure you can easily obtain the list and keep it in some way, shape, or form. I found that a lot of the other apps, word generator apps, don't really have an easy way to save the list. So keep it simple. And that's the format, the interface that you're looking for is the simpler it is, the easier it's going to be to use. And make sure that all of your terms are not spooky terms. It could have 2,000 terms in it only, just like an ovilist, but just make sure that they're not all pre-programmed to kind of give you that jump scare for that horror effect. So that's kind of my, you know, take on word generator apps. Those are the kind of the qualifications that I look for. And of course, I'm always going to recommend use it with another ITC device, whether that be, you know, something, you know, newer like the Envoy device that can give us letters and numbers, and or an actual spirit box. So nothing is going to beat a spirit box. Obviously, I have my opinions on physical spirit boxes and the different models of them. We're not here to get into that. We are here to discuss apps. So just use it in conjunction to complement your spirit box session. You don't have to listen to it. No matter which app you choose, most of them are going to kind of give you noises. And, you know, I think the one that I use actually growls at me whenever it gives me a word. And I don't care about those things. I put it on mute and I listen to a spirit box and see if anything kind of jumps up and works together. I cannot tell you how many times I've had one word show up on the word generator app, and then I heard a phrase come out of a spirit box, and the two were almost completing a sentence. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. I do this regularly on a daily basis, guys. So, again, just be wary of all of the things that you're looking at when you guys are diving into these apps. So, that wraps it up on word generator apps. You have my opinion. You can take it or leave it, but I do love them. I just wish that not all of them would try to make this a horror movie. So next type of app that we're going to be looking at are camera filter apps. We all want to use the crazy cameras we see on the paranormal TV shows. I know that when I was first starting off and I wanted to really dive in and look for inexpensive ways to be able to do this, I went straight to phone apps. And what I found was that nothing will ever compare to using a physical paranormal camera, whether that be an infrared camera, thermal imaging camera, so forth and so on. Now, I will tell you, all of your apps that you're going to look at as far as camera filters go, and it says ghost hunting or ghost anything, they will claim to be infrared or they will claim to be thermal or negative seeking or so forth and so on. If your phone that you're using these apps on, or even a mobile device, which is could be a tablet, does not have the camera capability to be able to use that particular type of app, it is not going to work in your favor. It is fun to experiment with. It can be fun to use even, say, a negative effect from your phone or your tablet to help you see in your darkened spaces or wherever you're investigating. But I'm here to tell you just from experience that I don't use any apps unless it was designed to be an attachment from an actual camera to my phone. What I mean is I use the FLIR for the portability of it, and it is it's an attachment for an S8 active smartphone. We did that to keep it nice and portable, and it works, but you need the software from FLIR in order for it to be able to actually work. There are plenty of settings on there, but the camera's capability can handle all of the settings. That's why they're there. So I would prefer that if somebody's going to bring a paranormal camera onto one of my tours, that it be a legitimate camera and not one of the phone apps. Because again, I have yet to come up or come across any paranormal evidence from a phone app camera filter that was what I found impeccable evidence. So that is my word of advice. I am going to, however, encourage all of you to experiment with them. You should see how different things look in different light settings and different camera settings, just so you can see and learn about how light actually hits lens. I'm not telling you to go out and get a photography degree, but as investigators, we need to know how our equipment works. You can do that by starting off with a couple of the filters that you can find through some of the app stores and playing around with it. Until you find concrete evidence on a regular basis from it. I don't have a whole lot of faith in camera filter apps unless I know for certain that the camera that is in the phone or tablet has the capability of handling that style of filter. We can talk a little bit more about this later on when I do discuss one specific, you know, other camera that we're going to bring up. But at the same time, again, I'm not going to discourage you from, you know, toying around with some of these apps and seeing how they work, night vision, infrared, all of the things. But just know that, you know, from experience, I haven't had much luck with them, but it did teach me what to expect and what not to expect when I purchased actual physical cameras that were meant for one specific type of filter, whether that be infrared, thermal, night vision, etc. Not really gonna, you know, beat a dead horse here with the camera filter apps. We're just gonna move on, and we're gonna be discussing spirit box apps. Spirit box apps. This one can be tricky and maybe even a little confusing. Much like word generator apps that are going to they're going to act like an obelisk, basically, and put words in the center of the screen, a spirit box app can limit an investigation in a couple of ways. They are very questionable, and a spirit box is always going to be the most ideal thing to use when you're looking for direct communication, you know, whether or not you are using, you know, the radio chatter, like I discussed in the spirit box episode, or if you're going to be looking for direct voice, like disembodied voices coming through white noise on faster speeds. Spirit box apps, it's kind of hard to trust them simply because it is an app, which means they have to be a little preloaded unless they're a live feed from some type of white noise origin. It can be, you have to be a little judgy on these particular types of apps. So they are meant to try to give you kind of a jump scare, just like most of the paranormal things are that we do. But one app that I actually use to complement a physical spirit box, again, always going to recommend a regular spirit box. It's an app by Brian Holloway. I don't even know that it's still available anymore, because when I searched for it, it was really difficult to find. But it was called Paranormal Hauntings. The app works in a much different effect than any other spirit box that I've worked with or any other kind of app. It actually gives us a reverse effect of words being said backwards. It kind of gives it that old spin your records backwards type of effect, which can be eerie for some people, even unnerving, depending on who you're talking to. But when a word or a phrase comes through in forward motion, it stands out and it's normally very, very clear. I tested this app with multiple locations and found very specific pieces that I didn't know or didn't make sense in real time, which is probably what I love about this app so much. Again, I'm going to just name it again. It's Paranormal Hauntings by Brian Holloway. I did, on the blog post for this episode, I did put up Paranormal Darkness, and you'll also be able to see how Brian actually spells his last name. Again, it's not Holloway, it's Holloway, so H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y. But going back to his Paranormal Hauntings app, the one where it's backwards, it's very unique, and I used to use it on a regular basis until I found that it actually unnerved a couple of my people coming to visit. And I know that that sounds odd, but I mean, I do run a family-friendly event. So if I run something like that, and it's going to be on their voice recorder because there's really no other way to record it, it doesn't have an internal recording feature. It's a very unique style of listening and trying to communicate. But I also use that complementary to a spirit box that's running in a Faraday box and just having it record to an SD card, just kind of in conjunction. So just to kind of verify the things that have come through. There were times when I was working with this app and something came through and I was very confused. I didn't understand what the phrase or terminology meant until one of my guests or somebody that I was doing the investigation for actually said, oh, that means this, or that is, you know, because it's so-and-so's brother, or whatever the case may have been. It was very specific. That's what I love about this app so much. And the fact that I couldn't find it on the Google Play Store was a little disheartening because I was, you know, I really wanted to talk about it and kind of give you a few clips, you know, from this. And I still have the app, but at the same time, I don't want to get you too excited about something that may not be available anymore. But I would definitely tell you that Brian Holloway's other apps, I have tested them. They are a lot of fun. And if they're going to be anything like the app that he generated, Paranormal Hauntings app, then I am going to recommend his work. You know, they always have some type of, I don't want to say always, you'll kind of recognize his work because it will say by Brian Holloway. The one that I posted up on the blog post, it's just a picture of the icon of it. It does have like a Ouija board, spirit board on there. It's red in color and it's called Paranormal Darkness. I have not tried it. So just wanted to make sure I had something up there by Brian to kind of give you an idea of what to expect out of some of his work. Again, I'm just going to remind you, I'm not an advocate or an affiliate for any of these apps. I'm just sharing my opinion and obviously my experiences with these types of apps, so that way you, as a listener and paranormal investigator, can kind of get an idea, and I'm hoping I'm saving you a lot of time, to be quite honest. With this episode, I just realized a lot of people ask me about these apps. I mean, even during the interviews I've done for other podcasts, a lot of people ask me, like, hey, do you use the apps? Is that any of that stuff, like, you know, trustworthy? But again, that's the whole point of this episode. Again, not an advocate, not an affiliate. If you download these apps or you don't download them, or you have a belief or you don't believe in them, I'm going to leave that strictly up to you. Again, I'm not going to judge you either way for it. I'm just trying to give you the best information possible from my viewpoint. We are going to get into a very specific app with the next section. So we're going to be discussing the SLS app by GhostTube. So you probably know about this app based on what we call as the Stickman camera. And now I'm sure that that raised a lot of eyebrows as you were listening, because now you know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen this on TV. It's been used for quite a while now. Using an old Xbox 360 Kinect camera with all the wires and battery packs, attachments, and, you know, we've all seen it. And it's all intrigued us with some of the mapping that they were able to show on there. I do a tour where I have to carry all of the equipment. I was not going to be carrying, you know, this giant chunky monkey of an item. And there are other models that are, you know, have been compacted. So kudos to some of those teams and, you know, designers out there that are using, you know, 3D printers to make these cases and try to keep everything contained. But overall, it is still a very heavy process. So my backpack that is completely filled with all of the gear for up to 13 people, it weighs probably close to, I would say, 25, maybe 28 pounds. I really didn't want to add another, we'll just say 10 to 15 pounds to it, and there's no room. Not to mention, I'm like, I use a very large photographer's backpack for my toolkit. But the SLS app by GhostTube. I really went into extensive research on this because I really wanted to know how it worked. You know, how does it actually go into just one tablet? Like, that was kind of my process of thought when I was going in, when I was diving into this whole thing. So let's talk about what this thing actually is and how it actually works. So yes, I do use the SL app by GhostTube. Yes, I have a paid subscription, but that is only so that way I can save high-def video to be able to give back to my guests. I do believe that the free version of this will allow you to save up to a few minutes of a video at a time. So again, it's been a while since I've, you know, just tested it out. So you would have to download it and kind of, you know, see for yourself what it will actually allow you to record. But with my guests, you know, we're spending 2.5 hours together. So they will be recording in spaces intermittently. So we usually get anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour and a half of video, depending on the user. The initial trial of using the GhostTube SLS app was not going to work out for the tours, at least not in respect to me giving all of the data and media back to the guest. I wanted to be able to spot check these things and learn how it actually works even further. And getting, you know, we'll say 5 to 10 minute videos through a 2.5 hour investigation was just not going to cut it for me. So let's talk about how this thing works. So first off, SLS stands for Structured Light Sensors. So just like your Xbox 360 cameras, it sprays out a ray of dots. And kind of looks at like what's closer to the lens versus other dots, and that's where your stick man falls. So it's a pretty simple concept. That spray of dots, if you are using it in conjunction with a infrared camera, you can see that spray of dots. I'm sure we've all seen it on some of the paranormal TV shows where it looks like there's a large screen that's being, you know, flared out over a room or a space, so forth and so on, and it's all little tiny green dots moving around because it's moving the way the cameraman's moving it. That's exactly how this works. I will tell you, after doing the research on the GhostTube website, again, that's from ghosttube.com, the recommendation here is to actually use Apple's LiDAR technology. That's where the app actually works best. And that's exactly what we did. Now, anybody that knows me on a personal level knows that I am not a fan of Apple products, and I'm not afraid to say it, where it's going to be broadcasted to probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So you can chuckle right now. So it took everything in me to actually buy an iPad that actually had LiDAR technology already built into it. So qualifications for that, I want to say it was a 2020 iPad or newer. The easiest thing I tell my guests to look for is if their cameras on the back of their iPhone are in a square versus a triangle type formation, then you more than likely have a phone or a tablet that can handle using the SLS, you know, at its full capacity in high def and being in a range of sensitivities. So there's your first set of recommendations. Couple of things about the Stickman. First off, I always like to keep everything, it's the purple screen it's the green screen using the purple sticks, and I only do that because of using the infrared camera along with, you know, a full investigation. If I have a full team that night, we're going to be using all three of my cameras. I like to make sure that there's a little bit of difference in between them, so that way they can tell them apart, like, right away. So your preference is your preference of however you're going to filter that. With the Stickman itself is the first thing that I normally look for. I'm going to point out a couple things. With this being basically a depth perception camera, for the head on any Stickman, if it is a singular dot for the face or the head, I can usually omit that we actually have anything going on. It's probably some physical world object. Might be a tree, might be a telephone post, it might be the outline of a building. I normally look for 3 points that are kind of bunched together because that basically accounts for 2 eyes and our nose. Those are the contours of a human face. So I, in the past, with anything that I've caught with this where it was actually something that I felt could have been paranormal, I noticed also had those 3 points. So the 2 eyes and the nose. So that might be something that you look for sure when you are using this particular app. I will also tell you the sensitivity on this, at least for my iPad, to use this app because that's the only thing I use this iPad for, is for the app. The sensitivity is set below half. I would say it's about 40%. And then this allows, you know, my guest to, you know, obviously see real people and our stick figures as we walk around the space. But it also allows them to debunk other anomalies that might be going on around us. So if they see another figure there and, oh, that might be the outline of the building. Oh, that's a tree over there. So forth and so on. It allows them to debunk things in real time. So that way they get to learn, you know, about the device. But when I do find something in the camera when I'm back at the office after the investigation and I'm going through a spot check for the guest, if I spot something in there and I'm not really sure what it is, I'll take a screenshot of that part of the video and then I will brighten it up just using, you know, simple filters, you know, from my laptop. And if there is no distinctive outline from any physical world object or another person, then we might actually have something. And of course, those 3 points for the head or face also kind of make a great determination that there might be something going on. So I've had a couple of interactions where we've actually gotten our ghost or spirit, depending on your terminology, to actually do something physical. Like, raise your right hand. Can you raise your left foot? I always tell my guests that if they're not sure, ask out loud if they can do a physical act to be able to prove their validity that they're there so they can verify it. We've had a handful of times where that's actually occurred, and that's always super great when you capture it in real time. But when I'm going through and I'm spot checking the video, a lot of it is take a screenshot, brighten it up. I would say 90% of the time, so 9 times out of 10, I'm able to match it to an outline of things in the background. So most of your spaces, as you already know, are going to be dark. And, even with, you know, a tablet's camera and those sorts of things that are going on with our technology, it's not always going to be able to pick up every little thing where you're going to be able to see it, nor is everything going to be a ghost. So kind of take that in stride when you're using the GhostTube SLS app. It's a great, inexpensive way, an alternative way to not have to purchase the full-blown Xbox 360 modified with the tablet and the whole nine yards, which can get very pricey. So I've seen them range anywhere between $400 to $750, you know, and that's just an average. I will say that I did receive one as a gift at one point, but it was not programmed properly. And I just did not have the patience to try to figure out why it was not programmed properly. I tried a few different things by watching YouTube, but let's face it, guys, I'm a writer. I'm not, you know, any kind of code writer or anything like that. So I just felt like it was out of my wheelhouse, and I just kind of washed my hands of it for about a year until I discovered the SLS app by GhostTube. So again, it's a lot of fun. I am going to recommend at least get the free version of it, especially if you have an Apple product with that LiDAR technology. If you're not sure, you could probably just go to Apple's website and look up to see if your particular phone model or tablet model actually has LiDAR. And that way you can actually at least play with it and kind of see how it works. But keep in mind, 3 points for a face and make sure that it's not picking up the outline of anything else that might be in the background. So do love the app. It has been super fun. And if anything, it is probably more fun than fruitful of what I found, at least so far. So kind of take that in stride of when you're starting to work with this, particularly that not everything's going to be a ghost. And if your sensitivity is set up too high, it's going to bring up stick men all over the place. So next app that we're going to cover is by the same company, GhostTube. It'll be the Seer app. I know I've discussed this before, but it is something that probably should be touched upon as I'm learning more and more about the particular app and how it works. And of course, as I'm seeing things that are actually becoming very cool with this, especially since it's artificial intelligence. So next section. All right, guys, the Seer app. Last app that we're going to cover, and then of course I'll summarize this whole episode, for you and kind of put it all together as one big happy thing. So the Seer app, if you're not familiar with this, it's an AI app where it basically uses the magnetometer of your phone, same principle of using an EMF meter app, like we discussed at the top of this, podcast episode. But it uses the magnetometer and translates that into basically a piece of AI art. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Sometimes can be a little creepy. But isn't that what this is all about? I mean, it's a matter of trying to really find some answers here. And sometimes it's just a way to basically retranslate any EMF fields that it might be around us. And I find that very fascinating. If you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know that the study that I did with the Seer app from the start was about 40 to 45% accurate to our haunted space. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about the Seer app. So not only does it create artificial intelligence imagery, as I normally tell my folks, you can use it in one of two ways. You can use it just on your phone, and it'll basically show up at the bottom of your screen, and you can record the session. It'll also record the audio, so you can have the perks and benefits of knowing what questions you were asking and seeing if it was coming up in an image format, which is just another way of communication because, you know, picture speaks a million words. Or you can actually put it in a virtual reality headset, and you can use this along with your Estes Method sessions or Spirit Box sessions, depending on what your preferred phrase for that is. I found it more interesting that if we use this in a VR headset for the tours, that it would basically bring a personalized style of something new to the tour. So here's how this goes. The app was designed so that way, instead of being blindfolded during the Estes method, so if you're not familiar with that, person wears a spirit box, they get blindfolded, other people ask them questions, and they don't get to hear the questions, they only repeat answers of things that they're hearing. So if you're unfamiliar with this, I highly suggest that you watch a season or two of Kindred Spirits. They basically have tested this method out in more ways than one. But the Seer app was designed to basically replace the blindfold with a VR headset. Now, you would probably be thinking that this is a virtual reality headset, and what we know of them, they are in 3D, and it makes you feel like you are in that space. That is not necessarily true for the imagery that shows up through the Seer app, which is probably a good thing considering what actually shows up in out of nowhere, because you don't know what's coming. It just creates a 2D image kind of floating in an open space format. So just kind of think of yourself floating out in space, and then an image kind of appears before you. It looks like a photograph, you know, just kind of floating there. It's, again, this is not a 3D image, like immerse yourself in the world kind of mentality, where that's what we're used to seeing from some of the 3D virtual reality pieces, either from video games or YouTube videos or so forth. So I don't want you to get that type of mentality when you think of this as a virtual reality cam. It's just to make the whole experience a little bit more personalized. What I've also done with this is that instead of this all going to one person and replacing the blindfold during the Estes method, I separated this into two different people. I did this for basically one major reason. Most of the people that come to see me are not necessarily ghost hunters. They don't do this all the time or on a regular basis like some of you listeners, you go out and investigate a space or you're trying different things. These are folks that are looking merely for a good time, something, you know, to pique their curiosity, so to speak. They've always wondered about it, or they just want to try something out. Again, I create a family-friendly environment, and it is fun, and it is a little on the scary side if you're not really sure what to expect. So with this kind of being part of the last thing that we do, I wanted to make sure I separated it so that way I can pull, you know, two people from my crowd of 10 to 12 folks and say, okay, you're going to be blindfolded. You're going to be wearing the virtual reality headset. Here's what to expect out of this. I keep these people under in these sensory pieces for 10 minutes. And this is the only part of the entire night that I actually time, just to kind of make sure I have a good gauge of how to control the environment. When I say control the environment, I want to make sure nobody's getting hurt. So either one of these experiments, whether being blindfolded or stimulated with imagery this way, can be, I'll use the term again, unnerving. And some people tend to get a little heavier on the breathing, so forth and so on. I just want to make sure all of my guests come out of this okay. And with the 10-minute time frame, what we've seen so far, I've had some nights where there were no images created whatsoever. I've had other nights where we've been given 12 images in that 10-minute time frame. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that the Seer app is completely unpredictable. I've been working with this app for quite some time now. We'll just say 6 to 7 months, maybe a little bit longer. Sorry, I don't have the exact date in front of me. But at the same time, I've probably seen 400 to 500, maybe even 600 images that have been generated out of this thing. And I have yet to see a twin image to any other image. It's very interesting. I've had some that have had similar traits, but I'm also using this app in the same area, night after night. So I expect things to be somewhat along the same lines. I've tested it in other locations and around my tour. Some success, mostly unsuccessful. But again, I haven't fully trained the ghost on what to do with this. So with the person that I have basically trained on how to, hey, get closer to, you know, the thing on this person's face to be able to transmit images, it comes a little easier for that particular spirit. As with any new technology, I would feel the same thing as a learning curve, the same way it is for us humans. So we don't want to just be thrown into the mix. That's kind of how I feel about this new technology that I'm throwing at these ghosts. I just have the fortunate opportunity where I get to visit the exact same spaces on a regular basis. I mean, don't get me wrong, I change it up from time to time, depending on what's going on. But for the most part, there's a staple route to my tour. And those are the places that are visited on a regular basis. And, you know, the Seer app has actually been the inspiration for a new location for this year. So the Seer app is super fun. There's a free version of it, of course, by GhostTube. I don't believe it allows you to record a lengthy video, or what I normally do is I just save the images and I'm able to put those images into the data report for my guests. I don't give them a video of what was being seen or how things were being heard, because we're already recording things in other ways. I just like to be able to give them the images, and if the image was relevant, provide a link to be able to verify that that actual image was relevant to our space. I have the paid version of this app as well, and that's only so I can save in the event that we do get up to 12 images, because I don't believe the free version allows you to do that, to save that many. I think it starts to overwrite them or something. I honestly can't remember, but I do know I needed to buy it so that way I can use it on a regular basis in the fashion that I wanted to use it. So again, completely up to you. I am going to recommend that you at least download the Seer app and test it out. You don't need a VR headset. You can use it just on your phone. You can use it in conjunction with any other tool because it is visual. You don't need to listen to it. That's the wonderful piece of it. You could set it up in one room and walk away and go into another room and do a spirit box session, or, you know, whatever you're going to do, an EVP session. Just go check out some other parts of your haunted location and come back and see what images actually came up. Sometimes they take a little bit of time. Again, some nights I've had zero, other nights I've had up to 12. I've had some nights where there was only one in that 10-minute time frame. That should just show you how unpredictable this actually is. I never know what's actually going to come through or how many we're going to get. But again, love this app. I am a big, big fan. I know that artificial intelligence sounds a little too much for the ghost hunting world, but I'm going to be a big fan of this, you know, and especially as it evolves, because I'm sure GhostTube's going to do something to turn this into a next level piece where we're all going to be wanting to use this. I honestly don't feel like enough people know about it, and I'm just going to say it right out. I'm a fan. Okay, so this has been a longer episode than what I normally do, especially when I'm solo. So again, I hope I piqued your curiosity in some of the apps, you know, at least some of the styles of the apps. I'm gonna, you know, always kind of encourage you all, anybody that's getting into ghost hunting for the first time, if you're a paranormal investigator already, add a few apps to your arsenal, test them out, but always, always, always use them in conjunction with another tool, another app. Just never one all by itself, and how you feel so great about one, finding one little EVP, or, you know, you had one word that came up that was super relevant. A well-rounded ghost hunter is always going to use, you know, physical pieces of equipment, but I'm going to say definitely add some apps to your arsenal, have some separate phones and or tablets set up to run these apps. You know, you can usually get you know, inexpensive, you know, phones or tablets, you know, to be able to run them. Again, with today's technology of phone apps, I wanted to make sure, like, I was putting some type of legitimacy behind these. But again, they're in conjunction with other physical devices. So, again, I'm hoping I piqued your curiosity, because I'm sure that the title of this episode alone is what brought you to it. And you're just not a regular follower. And hopefully you are now, and seeing how honest I am about some of the tech and the things that I find. But I think it's time that we start adding some of these higher tech pieces, especially the way artificial intelligence is kind of evolving. It's hitting hard. If you guys haven't been watching tech news, like, there are robots out there that are jumping further than humans. Like, it's pretty crazy stuff out there. But again, don't be excited about one singular little event that occurs, you know, either in your home or with one of these apps. You know, look at things as a whole. And that's, again, what I'm going after, is to really teach and show people to not just be excited about a photograph that you caught with an orb in it. You know, what else happened at the same time? You know, were you running something else? Was there another camera running nearby? Did you get something on a spirit box? You know, orbs are great. We all have orbs on photographs somewhere. You know, do we capture them in motion with cameras? Yeah, that's a little bit more exciting than capturing in a photograph, and a lot easier to debunk or prove, especially when they're on a regular camera versus just a photograph style camera. But I'm going to say, use the apps, guys. Test them out. Study the results and compare them to a physical device's results. I'm never going to discourage you from experimenting, because that's what the paranormal field is. It's experimenting. We don't have answers. That's the point. So as many things that we can throw at this as far as technology go, then we should be doing it, and we should be testing the results on a regular basis. If you're doing different locations all the time, which is what most investigators do, I don't think I know anybody that keeps investigating the same spaces over and over and over again like I do. But if you're testing out spaces and you're finding that your ghost might be a little on the shy side, try the Seer app. You know, maybe show them how they can use some of the radio chatter through a regular spirit box. And it's a matter of knowing who your ghost is. And just remember, when you're walking into these haunted spaces, your ghosts already hear you. There's no reason to converse with your fellow investigator and then shout into the air if anybody's there. I find that absolutely ridiculous, because our ghosts can already hear us when we walk in. They hear our conversations. They know you're talking about them. If you're going to talk about them, do it outside the space and then go in to investigate. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent soapbox there, so my apologies. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you're going to go through these apps and use them, and you're getting anything that's questionable, research it. Dive in. Go head first and dive in. It's hard work, but it's always fascinating, and sometimes just as fascinating as when you discover something going through the media after your investigation as it was to find it during your investigation. This is somebody, you're hearing somebody that does this on a regular basis. What I love about what I do is that I get to discover new things about the same spaces over again. And these, sometimes things will pop up, and I'd have no idea what that means, but I don't know who Bob is, but I'm gonna find out. If you've been on one of my tours, you've heard me say that. I'm like, I have no idea who that is. And I'm not afraid to say that I don't know something. And that's what's so great about this, is because we don't know. But we do need to find out more. And I feel like it's really time that we threw the book at this and started looking at investigations as a whole, other than singular events. Use the apps. Let's throw these apps out there and try to see what sticks. Granted, if you're not having success, maybe somebody else has. You know, reach out. I mean, there's plenty of threads out there on ghost hunting, guys. You just have to dive in. There's plenty on Reddit, any social media platform that you're using. We've all talked about ghost hunting. So just ask what works, what doesn't work. Some people are going to have different opinions, and that's okay. Some people, I've never had, you know, any kind of, you know, success with this app before. I think they're all bogus. Well, they obviously got a bad taste in their mouth. They may need to try something new. Take it for what it's worth. But again, ask around. Test them out for yourself. And I'm one of those people that believes that paranormal, evidence needs to be experienced in order for people to fully understand it. Use the apps, test them, research the results. That's what I'm going to encourage every one of you to do. I say we end this very long episode, as it's been a lengthy one for me. So I appreciate you all listening. And of course, if you're going to be coming through Charleston, South Carolina anytime soon, that you look me up. That's the interactive ghost hunting experience, and you can come ghost hunting with me. So just go to storiesinthecemetery.com. You can find the blog post for this in the show notes. If you wanted to actually have this almost as a script, I'm not going to say that I read a script. I just used it as my notes, as to kind of like which devices and, you know, to talk about next and which apps to talk about next. Again, storiesinthecemetery.com has all of the episodes. It has all of the blog posts. And of course, you can book all of your tickets for the interactive ghost hunting experience directly on my website. And of course, I always do Spirit Box boot camps by request. That is small groups of 6 ghost hunters at a time. So if you're a paranormal investigator and you got some newbies on your team and you want me to teach them, you know, the Spirit Box boot camp and work with some of the ITC devices that I carry around, I will teach them easy all the way up to expert ways in a 2.5 to 3 hour time frame. So with that said, guys, this has been episode 48. Really appreciate you guys listening to this episode. And let me know what you think of the new intro. I think I'm going to come up with a new intro every year. So leave something in the comments. Find me on socials. Of course, I'm really pushing on TikToks because I'm actually having a lot of fun creating all of those stories for you. So go find me on TikTok, Stories in the Cemetery. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Stories in the Cemetery podcast. Be sure to check out the blog post for this episode at storiesinthecemetery.com, where you'll find our full studies into the paranormal field. You are greatly appreciated, and your host, Nicholas McGurr, would like you to stay in touch through his social media platforms of TikTok, Facebook, or YouTube. Here you'll find updates on his latest work and changes to the interactive ghost hunting experiences in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. Until next time, stay haunted and let's go ghost hunting.